Hey, friends, so glad you hopped on the podcast today. I am excited you're here. We're in the middle of this series, this Women of Impact series, and we're sharing with you a few of the classes that are a part of our 70-class course called Women of Impact. And we're sharing these with you because we just keep hearing from women how much they want to make a difference, their big dreams, their longings to share their talents and energy and contributions to the world, and yet there are things that are holding them back, things they're afraid of, things they're insecure about. And so today we wanted to bring you the message that I gave in this course called Out of Hiding. Take a listen. I think what we all have in common as women is that no matter who we are, no matter where we're at with God, no matter what our journey has looked like, we all want our lives to matter. We all want our lives to make a difference. We want to make this thing count. But the other thing that I think we all have in common as women is that something often holds us back. Something hinders us. Something trips us up. Something lies to us and tells us that we don't have what it takes. And I see this all the time. One of my favorite things that I get to do around Collide is meet with women and listen to their stories. And the story that I hear from women all of the time is that they have this innate and beautiful desire to do big, great, bold, good things in this world. And there's something that's holding them back from doing so. There's something that keeps them from living into the fullness of those dreams. Something holds them back from the next level of greatness. Something gets in the way of the faithfulness that that kind of life requires. I want to deal with that something because I believe that God's got a purpose for you. God's got a destiny for you. God's got a plan for you, and he wants to do something big and bold and beautiful through your life. But first, we have to deal with that thing that's getting in the way and holding you back. A while back, I got a message on Facebook from a guy who's reaching out about his wife without her permission. And he wrote to me and he said he believes in her ability to write so much that all he wants to do is see her use her gift and she isn't using it. I wasn't really sure what I could do to help out the situation, but I could see in him this beautiful belief in his wife. And so I said, look, if you want me to help out, you're going to have to tell your wife that you went all secret squirrel on her and that you messaged me. And so he confessed to his wife that he reached out to me. And so her and I ended up having lunch. And I asked her about her relationship with writing. And I asked her that because I have a relationship with writing too. We have our ups and downs. The first book that I ever wrote was in elementary school called Willow's Whispers. And I wrote it and was sent to a young authors conference. And I have felt called to write a book for the last 10 years, and I'm actually sitting on the semblance of what is a book, but fear has me so paralyzed to do anything with it. My relationship with writing has always been this fear fest, and I have made it smaller than it wants to be, and I've tried to shrink back and not do what I feel called to do. And I've questioned my ability to impact lives with writing. And in fact, you heard me earlier in this course talk about how I was asked to prepare a message and preach for the first time. And when I was, I ran for the hills. And years after that, it was other people who told me I should write a blog. And I was like, why would I do that? Why would anyone want to read it? And I think it took a small town to convince me to put out a podcast because I was like, why would anyone listen to it? And here I am still wanting to put out this book, but I'm so afraid of doing so. And I started writing these Bible studies because a team of women around me here at Collide were like, you've got to put this work out because it's changing lives. And so we started publishing these, 150-page beautiful Bible studies for women. And I was so afraid to put those out because they have my name on them. I can't just hide under the alias Collide. They actually have Willow Weston on them. And I understand this fear. So when I'm sitting across from this woman at lunch, I understand how fear takes over and all those mean, awful lies and hypotheticals start running laps in your head. So here I was with this woman, and we're like two fraidy cats eating salad across from one another. And Michelle starts to tell me that she came to some Collide conferences, and then she ends up doing one of the Bible studies I wrote called Yes, You. And she said it was in doing that study that God actually compelled her to say yes to using her gift of writing that she had been given. And I'm literally sitting there listening to her tell that story, thinking, oh my goodness, if she only knew how afraid I am to use my gift. And when I asked her about her relationship with writing, she said she's afraid to write because she's afraid people will judge her. She said she's afraid people will think she's trying to draw attention to herself. She's afraid she might not be very good. She's afraid it's selfish. I said, selfish? Is it selfish of me to write? And she said, no, never. Aren't we so much harder on ourselves than we are on other people? I asked her, if you knew Adele before she was a big deal and you knew that her voice had the capacity to pierce hearts with just one note, but she thought it might be selfish to step out and use her gift because she might get some attention, would you discourage her to use her gift? No, you wouldn't discourage her to use her gift. You would say, Adele, you need to sing. We need you to sing. In the same way that we need Adele to use her gift to sing, we need Michelle to use her gift to write, and we need you to do what you can do, no matter how afraid you are. And so here I was sitting with Michelle, and she had tears welling up in her eyes. She knows she needs to come out of hiding because her words have been kept on lockdown since she was a little kid. And I know that feeling, and ironically, my writing helped inspire hers, and yet her and I are being held back by the very same thing, and that thing is fear. Fear has so much power in our lives. I'm going to talk about 10 things that fear is really great at. The first one is that fear is really great at lying to you. Fear likes to tell you you don't have what it takes. You're not strong enough, put together enough, educated enough, funny enough, smart enough, secure enough, loved enough, magnetic enough. Fear's favorite hobby is to sit around and lie to you. Fear is the biggest lie bag you'll ever meet. And you know what? Some of us are believing its every word, missing out on the life we were made to live. The second thing that fear is really great at is convincing you that you have to be like her. Fear has you comparing yourself to chicks you think are cooler than you, and that assessment has got you paralyzed because you think you have to be like someone you're not. Fear has you caught up in gift envy. Some of you are actually jealous that you don't have the same gifts that someone else has. Fear's got you convinced that you'll never do anything really tremendous with your life because you'll never be as pretty or well-liked or as talented as Jenny. Well, guess what? I'll say it again and again and again. If you were supposed to be Jenny, you'd be Jenny, but you're not Jenny. God made you you, so stop allowing fear to tell you you're supposed to be anyone other than who you are. And the third thing that fear is awesome at is handing you your very own rap sheet of the lame things you've done in the past to keep you from doing great things in the future. You haven't been quite tight with God. In fact, you've made some lame choices. Plus, you always quit. These are the things you probably say to yourself. You have no self-control. Your motives are selfish. You're not consistent. You always fail to back up your intentions with action. Look at your past. That's fear talking. The fourth thing that fear is awesome at is it's awesome at convincing you that not using what you have is better than losing what you have. Fear will be loud and clear that not trying for success is better than risking failure. In the man's mind in Matthew 25, who was given one talent, there was no chance of loss. by saving it. But guess what? There was also no chance of gain. The fifth thing that fear is awesome at, it's super great at keeping you smaller than you should be. You'll find yourself holding tightly to what you have. You want to be like the guy with five. You want more for your life and its capacity, but you'll always have one as long as you keep hoarding, hiding, and holding on to it out of fear. The next thing is fear messes with God's math. Fear says one put to work equals zero, but Jesus says no, one put to work equals two. Two put to work equals four. Four put to work equals eight. When God does our math, things exponentially grow. Talents, impact, resources, pizza, life change, dollar bills, even chairs like the one I mentioned that the woman donated to Clyde. 15 chairs, when grown exponentially, become 225 chairs, which become 3,375 chairs, which become 50,625 chairs, which become 759,375 chairs, which become 11,390,625 chairs that represent a life, a story. A woman changed so much so that now she's changing other people's lives in this world, but not if fear's doing the math. No, if fear's doing the math, we hold on to one so we don't lose it and it becomes zero. God's math is different. And the way that God calculates is this: if we don't use it, we lose it. The seventh thing is that fear is the expert at getting you to play it safe. And some of us are like the fraidy cat in the parable, and we're holding on so tight to what we have so we can hand it back to God as exactly as he handed it to us, so we don't move. But that's just the thing. God doesn't want us to hand him back what he gave us as it was. He wants to see what we did with it. We're so afraid to lose our reputation, our security, our retirement funds, our social life, our house, our figure, our spending money, our weekends, our identity, our leisure, our opportunities, our status, our position, and our freedom. But Jesus assures us that it's in losing what we have, in giving it away, spending it, and leveraging it, that we and the world around us gain so much more. So don't be like that guy who lets fear tell him to play it safe. God gave it to you to risk making it more than it already is.
We believe that God has something special in store for your life. Do you need some help discerning next steps in your calling, or wishing that God could do something big with your life, but you don't know where to start? Or maybe you're tired, overwhelmed, or burned out and need some encouragement and inspiration to get back up. Whatever season or life phase you're in, we've got an incredible online course called Women of Impact that will equip and empower you with tools to fully live out your purpose in this life. This course comes with over 70 teaching sessions taught by over 50 incredible women and features topics like discerning direction, dreams and vision, health for a purpose, impact in every chapter, and more. You'll also get beautifully designed journals and incredible resource lists. This course was created for women on the go, meaning you can access it anytime, anywhere, on any device. Now is the time to get inspired and equipped to make an impact with your life. This robust course is available for only $149. You can learn more or register by going to wecollide.net/women of impact.
Fear tells you not to trust your master. See, fear tells you that God is unfair, that God will be disappointed, and that God will take from you what isn't his. This man in the parable accused the master of such. Tell me, what can God reap that he did not first sow? Everything is His. He is the source. He is the beginning, the creator, the maker, the origin of all things. What did you earn, create, make, mold, or shape that you have that God didn't first originate? Because if you say your kids, because you had sex, I'm going to have to remind you, if you have kids today, where you got your uterus, fallopian tubes, and your ovaries. I'm going to have to remind you that you need to consider changing your view of your master, because in this story, Jesus makes it very clear that how we view the master will absolutely determine the trajectory of our faithfulness and thus the trajectory of our story. And fear is amazing at getting you to dig holes and bury things not meant to be put into hiding. And I know that it is so easy as women to hide our talent, our personality, our wealth, our abilities, and even our dreams. So if you've dug a metaphorical hole and you're burying the very things that you have been given to use, when you hide it, when you let it atrophy and you put it on a shelf and you let it expire and you deem it useless, or you hold on to it for yourself, or you cover it up, you, my friend, you are just like the guy in this passage. So it is time to get out the shovel and start digging. And the last thing that fear is amazing at is holding you back. When we're held back, we limit our potential. We worry about failing. We worry about succeeding. We conserve because we don't think we'll have enough for ourselves if we give it away to others. We don't do what we know we ought to because we might fall flat on our faces with a watching crowd. We give up on dreams and exchange them for mediocrities. We let other people's opinions of us boss our lives around. We give an old outcome permission to inform all the rest, assuming we can never accomplish what we hope to. Fear loves to keep us believing settling is just fine, that this right here, right now is all we'll ever be and all we'll ever do. But what if that's not true? What if there's so much more? Have you heard the story of the man who was passing by some elephants and he was stopped by what he saw? He noticed that these giant beasts, elephants, weigh between 6 and 13,000 pounds, and they're tied down and held in captivity, and they're held back by a small, tiny white rope attached to only one leg. How could this be? This man inquired. Surely an elephant could snap the small rope and break free into the life that it so desires at the slight force of its giant leg. And so the trainer explained to this man that since a very young age, an elephant, when they're much smaller, are conditioned to believe that they cannot break away. So when they grow up, they believe, though it not be true, that the tiny white rope that now replaced the chain that once held them back as children can still hold them back, that they will never break free to live the life they are made to. So why even try? You know, I think we're a lot like elephants. And I think Jesus knows that. I think God shows up to collide with us because He wants to break us free. We can run. We can do what we dream to do. We can even handle doing things we don't dream to do, but know we're called to. We're stronger than we think. We're braver than we know. We aren't made to walk in circles. We aren't made to think that we're helpless with no escape. We weren't given life to assume that this is all there is. We weren't made to settle for insecurities and anxiety and baggage and dysfunction and addiction and self-centeredness and oppression. See, we make tiny ropes bigger than we ought. And Jesus knows that we get stuck thinking we aren't as capable as we actually are. And He knows that we have this huge, amazing, vast life waiting for us. But we get stuck bound by lies in big and small ways. And so we need to do battle right now, because there are things that are holding you back, and we need to dig those up and uncover them. Fear is the rope that's holding you back. And here's what I'm learning. It has no actual power except for the power that you're giving it. And it's when you name it that it starts losing its power. Right now, allow yourself to reflect on this question. What is it that's got a tight hold on you, so much so that it's keeping you from living the life you were made for? What is it? It looks to me like Jesus would rather you uncover your fears and risk experiencing them than try and salvage what you've got. It looks to me like Jesus would rather you spend it all, your whole life, every last bit of it, all you've got, than hoard it for yourself and stay safe. And isn't that what Jesus did himself? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:23, we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. Some of us need to allow God to do a complete makeover on how we are seeing our life and its possibilities. When you see Jesus in the New Testament show up and collide with people, he's always trying to help them see how they're being held back. You see that when he runs into religious people who are held back by their narrow mindsets. You see that when Jesus runs into the thirsty girl who's trying to quench her thirst. You see that when he runs into the rich young ruler who's so afraid to lose his wealth in order to help the poor. See, Jesus cares about humanity being held back. He cares about you and I being held back. And I think that's why he told this parable. And I can't imagine a more beautiful God than the one who shows up and he sees us pacing around, held back by a tiny rope that's holding power over us, and we're living in fear because we want to break free, but we're convinced that we don't have what it takes. And I love that the God who made us, that he showed up and he not only told stories to unleash people, but he lived a story so that you and I would know that we could be unleashed by every single rope that ties us down and binds us. See, Jesus is a God who says, "All be held back so that you can be unleashed. Go now. Do not let the cross be in vain. Everything I was given, I gave for you. I leverage my life so that you can fully live yours. My life for your life. All the things that hold you back, I've taken on. They're on me and no longer on you. Go and break free from the tiny ropes that hold power over you. I took them on. They tied me on the cross. So run. Run as fast as you can. Run free, little elephant, and live the life you're made to live. You are not meant to live in captivity, but you were meant to live the life you were destined to live. Some of you are so bound up by someone else, what someone told you, by your own mistakes, your own comfort, or your own disbelief. And you are made for more than that. And Jesus believed this so much so that it's what all his stories are about, but it's also what his life and his death is about. Breaking free from fear's grip on our lives starts with us recognizing how much power we're giving the tiny ropes that hold us back. And I sat in a counseling office once, and the counselor asked me what my greatest fear is in putting out a book, and I told her. And she said, "So what? So what if that happens? Then what?" And she's suggesting that I'm giving something way too much power. If my worst fears come true, does God have enough power to meet me there? What if my life has more potential than I'm giving it? Will I always let this tiny rope have power over me? When will you realize that you are capable of so much more than you're believing you are? We've got to be women who believe that the power of God is greater than the power of the rope. Do you believe in God's power? Do you believe that he is big? Do you believe that he's mighty? Do you believe that he's supernatural? Do you believe that he's alive? Do you believe he can do amazing things? The elephant will break free when it has the audacity to question everything it believes, everything it's been taught, everything it's been made to think it needs security for, and instead believes it has more power than the flipping rope. And Jeremiah 10:6 speaks to the power of just God's name. No one is like you, Lord. You are great and your name is mighty in power. And 1 Samuel 10:6 says, the Lord will come powerfully upon you. And when it does, you will be changed into a different person. And 1 John 4:4 promises, greater is he that is in you than that is in the world. So we either stay held back, or we believe that we have a God who can bust us free into the full life that we were made to live. The elephant breaks free when the elephant breaks free. And I know that that sounds obvious and you want something deeper and more fancy, but this is what I'm bringing to you in this moment. You want something more thought-provoking, but literally the elephant has to move. The key to breaking free is breaking free. The elephant has to believe it has more power than what ties it down and then act on that belief. So breaking free looks like you moving your leg that's been tied up for way too long by self-preservation and safety and worry and anxiety and lies and wrong views of self and God. Breaking free looks like movement. It looks like digging up what you've buried and coming out of hiding. It looks like writing again. It looks like dealing with your negative thoughts by painting again. It looks like showing up to work every day, being 100% sure that God can use you to change the world today, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday. It looks like you not just singing in the shower, but singing in front of an audience. It looks like you applying for that job or giving yourself a permission slip that God already gave you to do something big. It looks like sacrifice and crazily giving away something to bless the socks off someone else, even if it means that you go without. It looks like you facing your greatest fears. It looks like no longer listening to the voices that tell you that you're meant for less. It looks like you saying, I will no longer live in captivity. It also looks like you saying, I will no longer live for myself, because that's just another form of captivity. It's putting out the darn book. It's giving away part of your inheritance. It's waking up every day and believing that God gave you this life for a purpose to impact other people. It's deciding to not let anything that holds power over you hold power over you anymore, because your God is bigger, your God is stronger, and your God is more powerful than anything tying you down and holding you back. And then it's acting on that belief. The only thing that will break you free, little elephant, is the belief that God can do what you have been made to believe you cannot do. I mentioned in an earlier course that about 25 some years ago, when I never wanted to preach because I didn't think I had what it took, I ran away from God's call in my life, and he marched me right back around to risk bravery and try it. And I mentioned that my first lesson in putting myself out there had me sitting with a teenage girl who came up to me afterwards and said, my stepdad abuses me and I want your rescuer. And it was in that moment that I thought to myself, I almost didn't do this. It was that experience that set me on the path that I'm on. I'll do whatever it takes, whatever God asks of me, even if it continues to mean that I have to put myself out there and expose my story and my mess. If it means that God will use it to change lives like her, I'll keep doing it. But sometimes I want to turn my back on that decision and get invited to return to being the girl who wants to run for the hills and go into hiding. When the haters try and convince me to quit and the protesters tell me I can't be used as a woman and the religious Pharisees make me feel like I don't have what it takes and comparing myself to other cooler people tells me they're all right. In the midst of all that God has asked me to do, and I want to run, he keeps asking me to sacrifice and work and keep investing and keep fighting fear like I need to even right now. And when I feel afraid and when I feel like I want to run, there's this one thing that gets me to keep coming out of hiding. And I want to remind you what that one thing is that keeps me from coming out of hiding, because maybe it'll help you. And it's this. There are people whose lives are waiting on yours. There are people waiting for you to show up. There are people who are waiting for your genius, for your gifts, for your ideas, for your dreams, for your business, for your ministry, for your service. I spent an afternoon sitting on a chair across from a woman who had just been released from the hospital after trying to end her life. And in her words, she was unsuccessful. This isn't the first time that she's tried such a thing. And I sat there and I listened to all the wounds that led her to the place where she's questioning the worth of her very existence. And I listened to all the ways that she feels like God no longer loves her and how people have given up hope in her and told her so. And I listened to her say that she feels like her life is a waste and she's not sure what she believes about God anymore. And the whole time she shared, there was just this thing that I kept feeling like I needed to say to her and plead on her behalf so that she might believe it. And I just said, you've been given life. And that means that God made you. And if he made you, you're supposed to be here. And if you're supposed to be here, then your life has a purpose and a destiny. And she might be bound by other people's rejection and her own screw-ups, but I believe with all the belief that I can muster up that God wants to cut the ropes that keep her bound up. And there are people who need to know that their lives matter, and God wants to tell them with our lives. And if you already know your life matters, then use your life to help other people know that. There are women who want to end their lives, and they're waiting for your help. There are children who are being bullied and they're waiting for your fight for justice. There are marriages falling apart and they're waiting on your wisdom and your mentoring. There are kids who are needing to be adopted and they're waiting on your momming. There are nonprofits and ministries that are bringing about the change in the world and they need your resources to keep doing it. There are teen girls who are drowning in lies and they're waiting for the truth of your writing, your singing, your painting. There are people whose lives have been trashed by addiction and they're waiting on your story. There are people living in hardship waiting for your intervention, your creative ideas, your engineering mind. There are people steeped in depression who are waiting for your healing work. There are elderly people who sit alone day after day after day and they're just waiting for your presence. There are so many people waiting on your life. And some of you are doing this, and if you're leveraging your life, keep leveraging your life. But if you are not leveraging your life, I am pleading with you, and I am reminding you that there are people waiting on you. So if this has dug up anything for you, lean into what it is. Come out of hiding front. You can be used to do amazing things. So I want to pray with you as we close. God, leverage my all that I have for the people whose lives are waiting on mine. Put all I have to work and may it become so much more than I can now see or comprehend. To you be the glory. Amen.
If you enjoyed that episode, friend, it was taken from our incredible course, the Women of Impact course. And if you're interested in grabbing hold of that for yourself, today we want to give you a half off code so that you can get it for just $49.99. There's like 70 some classes within that course taught by women who are actually making an impact in the world. So head to our website or click the link in the show notes to grab the course today. Friend, I just hope that you know as you continue to collide that God wants to use you in this world to do amazing things that impact other people. So be encouraged.